Hi all, this is Dan Airy. Welcome to Windchill Time. It is Thursday night, about 10:30 p.m. on January 30th.
Hi y'all.
What you're about to hear is the full-length show of what happened on December 5th, 2019. And so Airy and I, today on Thursday, January 30th, about 10 o'clock p.m., recording a really, really quick introduction. And so I'm Luggage Donkey on Twitter. And Airy.
I'm at Airy in Seattle. I am looking for a new handle, but it's at Airy in Seattle. Very boring and unoriginal. Yay.
Don't be so harsh on yourself. All right. So real quick on the price of Bitcoin, because there's a stark difference in the price of Bitcoin on December 5th as opposed to January 30th today.
Yeah. The price of Bitcoin is $9,375. And in order to figure out the number of Satoshis, which is the smallest denomination of Bitcoin,
100
Satoshis.
100 million sats in every Bitcoin.
In
yes.
Every Bitcoin. So you take $1 representing one US dollar and divide it by 0.00009375 and you get 10,667 Satoshis for every one US dollar.
So we automated that whole process of all that math on the Satoshi Math page on the windchilltime.studio website. All you got to do is plug in the number of dollars, the price of Bitcoin, and it will kick back out to you the number of sats.
And they programmed this up. What a wizard.
No, I didn't. I got the help of Plum Jam. That's his alias on Twitter, coding up some JavaScript, and I did a little bit of hacking with HTML.
Well, this episode is going to be really, really fantastic. I learned so much on this trip with DeFi Ventures. We had a previous recording with Leo Nowski, the executive director of DeFi Ventures Washington, and we went to this life-changing visit to prison on December 5th, 2019, and this is the follow-up show to that interview with Leo Nowski. And so we went to DeFi Ventures. Obviously, we weren't able to bring in recording equipment into the prison. And so we sat out in the prison parking lot. And then we went to this nearby coffee shop, also started by a ex-inmate of the prison. And we interviewed local investors and entrepreneurs, Mark Mueller Eberstein, Dennis Joyce, Bob Crimmins, Minda Bruce, Lawrence Lerner, and several others. And you'll be able to hear their reactions from that day at DeFi Ventures. It was really, really, really just very, very, I don't have words for it, emotionally charged and eye-opening experience that we went through.
Thanks to CoinMe and WTIA as our sponsors. CoinMe as the Cash to Bitcoin on-ramp and the WTIA as the Washington Technology Industry Association, representing over 1,100 countries. Representing 1,100 technology companies in the Pacific Northwest.
Thank you for being our sponsors. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate all of your listens. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and share. And together we rise. Hope you enjoy the show.
Thanks, y'all. Be nice. Bye-bye.
Hi, y'all. This is Dan Airy. Welcome to Windchill Time. It is Thursday, December 5th, about 9:31 p.m., we had a long day today. Started out around 5 a.m. because we were out on the DeFi Ventures trip out to Monroe, Washington.
And hence, Day's voice is husky. All right, well, welcome to Windchill Time, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. This podcast is a non-technical, fun, informative way to learn about money, Bitcoin, blockchains, digital assets, and crypto for busy parents and working folks who are curious about these new technologies. Dame, myself, and our guests talk about these evolutionary systems of money and what they do. Because what part of money... Oops.
Keep going.
Because what part of your life does money not touch? This podcast is not financial advice, and your reactions are your total and complete and absolute responsibility. Thanks again, and enjoy the show.
So it's actually a kind of a sinus issue, and now it's affecting how I sound. I feel okay as of now, but I just kind of sound bad.
Bad.
And we're also using my brand new Zoom recorder
as well.
It's my newest podcasting gadget. We used it in the parking lot as well, so the main segment of the show we used in a parking lot, and then we also used in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And so I have no idea actually how the audio is going to come out, but I think it's going to come out okay. I'm going to do my best to make sure that, you know, it's not too painful on folks' ears.
I'm sure the sonic quality is just going to be awesome.
Yeah, Thanks to everyone who came out today. It was a really amazing day. Great experience that kind of wakes you up into understanding what you need to be grateful for in your life.
Yeah, so today, December 5th, we were up at the Monroe Correctional Facility, aka prison, with Defy Ventures. In a previous episode, we had the executive director, Leo Nowski, come and talk to us for about an hour about Defy Ventures, Washington, and all that it does and all that he's learned. And so if you haven't heard that one yet, definitely check it out.
I'll put it in show notes.
And today we got to go up and see it all in with real life, with our own eyes. And I would say it was humanity, the best and worst of humanity all in one room. You know, like all the trauma, the tragedy, the hardships people have experienced, whether you're a prisoner or you're not a prisoner, we're all, you know,
basically the same people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, bad choices that ended up in bad outcomes with prison time, and other people who, you know, maybe made the same choices but
didn't get caught.
Yeah.
So it was a just real eye-opener about on that side, but on the other side it was a real eye-opener because people really shared, like, truly authentically, and it got really, really deep and emotional. And so it was just a really, really powerful day. If you don't or haven't had a chance to check out Defy Ventures, if there is a chance for you to go and check it out, the real prison experience, would highly recommend it. In the meantime, hey, Day, what's the price of Bitcoin at today?
So, check the price of Bitcoin a little while ago on the Apple Stocks Quoting app. It's BTC-USD, and it was $7,453. You decimize that into 8 places, so divide one dirty US fiat dollar by 0.0000743.
And you get 13,417 sats, or satoshis, in one US dollar. You get 13,417 sats.
Awesome. So thanks to our sponsors. First of all, is CoinMe, and I'll share a tweet in the show notes of a video that someone did. I believe it goes by the alias Kennedy Finance, but he put a little video snippet of him using a CoinMe software on the Coinstar machines.
Amazing.
In a Kroger grocery store.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I tweeted that out, so I'll include that in the show notes, but it was a treat. Nice treat to be able to see that in his music video.
Nice. And then thanks to the WTIA, the Washington Technology Industry Association. Actually, today we were really lucky to have Julie Pham, the executive director for their program ION, which is a collaboration lab where the tech industry meets other industries in the community to solve the community's biggest problems. And so that was just a really great experience.
And also Lawrence Lerner, part of the Blockchain Council Steering Committee as well. And he's also in the parking lot interview too. So, yeah.
Yeah, we had, you know, several notables in the Seattle area in the DeFi Ventures experience today. Bob Crimmins, executive director for Startup Haven. We had Mark Mueller Eberstein, author and speaker on the world of blockchains. You had Minda Bruce, a former colleague of mine, but also now a starting her own VC fund. And
many more.
Yeah.
So Dennis Joyce.
Oh yeah, Dennis Joyce, yeah. Investor. Angel investor, and he was so moved today that he committed quite a bit of money in investing and donating to the Defy Ventures program. It was just amazing to see life changes happen before our eyes.
All right, I'll do a little quick music interlude, and then we'll head straight into the interviews we did in the parking lot.
Hey, so. Who are you?
What's your name?
Lawrence Lerner, part of the Cascadia Blockchain Council.
Woohoo! All right, so what did you think you were going to experience today? And was it your first time? And what was it actually like? What do you feel?
This was actually my first time coming out here. I was really expecting to meet a lot of people from different backgrounds and hear some stories, but I didn't realize how authentic they were going to be and how raw everybody was throughout the day, and shared a lot, and These people have a lot of hopes and aspirations, and this is a great way for the larger community to understand what's going on here and maybe help out and bring people back into the community a lot faster.
Awesome. And would you do it again?
Absolutely.
Bob.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob Crimmins. Among other things, I run Startup Haven, founder investor group. Yes, I'm Bob Crimmins, and among other things, I run an organization for founders and investors called Startup Haven.
So what did you think about today, and what were you actually expecting?
I didn't have a lot of expectations, but nothing that happened in there was expected.
Okay.
I would say because it was mentoring, and it was an entrepreneur sort of focused event, I was expecting to do what I normally do when I mentor entrepreneurs. Which that was not at all. It was much, as someone else said, much more raw. And I didn't expect to, two things challenged me. Number one is a bunch of people were in there, and I thought I was gonna meet prisoners.
Right.
And that—
Labels,
yeah. So that was enlightening. And I would say also, in addition, I was caught a little bit off guard by learning about their stories and what those stories led to. And I couldn't help but think, but by the grace of God, you know, it's the trajectories that I saw in there, it was humbling to see what they went through and where they ended up and the advantages I had and didn't end up there. But those are genuine, real, authentic people who did bad things and are now trying to build a better future. And it was humbling to see that.
Thank you for sharing. Would you do it again?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Minda, yes.
Hi, I'm Minda Bruce. I'm a startup investor, and I just co-founded First Row Partners with Yoko Okano, bringing more funding into early stage entrepreneurs. And that's really who I, that's the umbrella under which I really thought I was here today. But I think just like real true entrepreneurship can be and is, it's a human experience. And that's definitely what was happening today. And so one of the things I found really interesting was that the format was that there were as many of them as there were of us. So there was not a, a power dynamic created where we had sort of an over inflated sense of our sort of role and ability to give advice. It was very sort of leveled and even in a way that I think really was very effective. And the facilitation in the day was just really well-rounded, very good use of my time. So I absolutely look forward to bringing people when I come back.
Awesome. So you're coming back in March.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Okay. Yeah, appreciate it. Okay. Thank you, Lawrence.
Hi, Dennis. So who are you? What did you think you were going to experience? And what did you experience today? And would you recommend it?
Dennis Joyce. I'm an early stage investor based out of Pacific Northwest. I work as an angel investor with the Alliance of Angels and the Puget Sound Venture Club, and I help out with Female Founders Alliance as well. I do lots of office hours and calls with startups with that are just beginning with their ideas and, you know, hoping to kind of start something. And so I just looked at it as another office hours where I'm just going to have to listen and talk and you know, give people some advice. And that, I mean, that's what I do. And I love doing that. But this is far away from where I live. And, you know, it's up early in the morning and dealing with traffic. All those, like, little things were sort of weighing on my mind. And I knew I was going to get a lot out of it. I do a lot of community service. And I, you know, I work with a charitable organization. So I didn't have really a problem with that. And I knew I was going to get a lot out of it. What I got out of it was a deeper understanding of what goes on in the prison system and how many obstacles a person who does want to reform and does want to get out and does want to do something proactive with their life, all of the millions of obstacles that they have to follow. And for someone with a traumatic background, it would almost assume like all of like one little mistake or misstep will just make it easy for them to want to go back to drugs or alcohol or crime or their old gang that they were involved in. And so the thing that I saw here is that you know, trying to talk to people about breaking their patterns and believing in themselves and starting a new life. Well, that was just, and forgiving themselves for the trauma that they had to endure and forgiving themselves for the pain that they caused other people. That was sort of the issue that kept on coming up over and over and over again. And it really blew my mind. And it was really emotional. I couldn't stop crying all day. I was actually going to lose it and start getting weird looking with ugly crying. But, you know, that was the huge takeaway. And I mean, I'm not even done because it blew my mind so much what I got out of it that I was like, well, now I know when I come back what to expect. How do I provide more of an impact next time? So this was just like breaking the seal. And now it's like, well, what will be the big impact next time? Yeah. I'm glad I came. I knew I was going to be glad I came, but I'm truly glad I came.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see you down there. Yeah, we'll see you. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for making the comments. Yeah, appreciate it.
Very glad you were able to come up and share in so many ways, and hopefully we'll do it again in March.
And I love your podcast, by the way. I'm a subscriber to it.
Yay!
And I listen to it.
Rate, review, subscribe, and share. Yeah.
Thanks, awesome. Guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Dennis.
How's that?
This is the second time here.
Oh, your second visit here?
Yes, it is.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So who are you? What did you expect the second time? And what was it actually like for you?
It's still a mind-bending experience, I think, and very mind-opening experience. I was here before the DeFi program existed. I think when Leo started to test it out, there was a Toastmaster event. I got invited. It was my first time behind bars. It was definitely, I was probably scared and didn't really know what to expect, other than what you've seen in TV, I guess.
Right.
And it was the humanity, I think, on all sides and on the organization of the program was the first thing I think I took with me. Coming back here today and seeing how the program has grown, how many people out of the community were stepping up, I think that was very, very positive to see the strong support and to experience again that there are people out there who are working really, really hard on them, not only outside of the walls, but also behind walls.
Right.
It's tough sometimes to make the right decisions, and also how thin the line is, I think, in life between having somebody telling you what life could look like, which doors to go to, what consequences could be, what opportunities are out there, and for how many people do not see that, how many people nobody tells them what they could achieve in life if they make the right choices, if they deal with their emotions a little bit better, and then consequences that are changing other people's life and the lives of the people that end up here, of course.
Right.
I couldn't help but think of constantly the whole nature versus nurture argument, and you know, we're all basically born with same, you know, possibilities, but then through environment it turns into a completely different outcome from, you know, from me and you versus them.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is choices and having guidance of how to make right choices in life.
Mentors.
And it starts very, very young. And if as kids grow up, and I think, as you said, the human brain develops until like 25 or 26, if in that process there is no guidance, what should happen? I mean, that's responsibility for all of us as parents, but also as part of the community, to making sure that we are helping people to see the opportunities and the pitfalls and the choices that are in their hand. You can't fix everything, but I think we have a responsibility there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for the record, who are you?
My name is Mark.
Full name.
Mark Müller-Eberstein.
Awesome. Thank you for your time.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for showing up. And it's a small world. So I was happy when you reached out and said, yeah, no, I'm already coming. I'm already on the list.
Fantastic.
That was good. That's good.
Oh, and we got to get you on the show, too, so to chat about
to
anything
in
and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, Vegas.
The timing didn't work out. Yeah. All right, so I hope you enjoyed. That was just the first glimpses of people's reactions after the Defy Ventures experience in the parking lot. And now we're going to head over to the original pilot's coffee house. And this is an ex-inmate who spent over 25 years in prison and came out and started this amazing coffee house right here in Monroe. And we're going to talk to folks there.
He actually started it while he was on the tail end of finishing his sentence, too. So it's really, really inspirational. Yeah.
And actually, while we're in the coffee shop, he comes in and he talks for quite a bit. And so you'll hear his voice. His name is Jeff.
One thing I don't know is software.
Okay, we're hot now.
So I'm just grateful to have all of you here at Jeff Rousey's Pilot House Coffee. It's a wonderful place to actually talk about Defy Ventures Washington, because Jeff Rousey, the founder of this, is somebody who's actually defied the odds. And after 27 years in prison, created this. And not just this, but hundreds of different employment opportunities for people who are formerly incarcerated. But what I want to know is, in between your sips of delicious coffee, what you thought about the experience, and more specifically, how can you see yourself contributing in a way to bring this into every prison, into and changing the system as a whole? So I don't know if it, and if you guys, since we are live, you guys can say your name and then before you speak.
To me, I thought, my name's Kyle. I thought the experience was life-changing. Life-changing in the sense that it changed lives inside, but it also changed each of our own lives. I believe that all of us here probably received a change in our own heart and our own mind. And in that way, one of those changes was, you know, seeing the dedication of all these EITs and their goals and what they wanted to accomplish, and seeing some of the barriers that are before them. It's motivating to me that I want to help them achieve their goals and do the things that they would want to do if they were outside. I want to try to help do some of those initiatives that they had planned, that they wanted to accomplish. And I mean, to answer your second question, I don't know enough on how to spread it through all the prison systems, but like the experience was incredibly life-changing to me, and I'm sure many more here as well.
I think for me, one thing I picked up today was on the sweet sheet, most every comment was just thank you for listening. And it just kind of hit me that I don't think many people have listened to their stories or heard their suffering or even sat down and heard, you know, them confess their shames and their wrongdoings and proclaim that they don't want to be of that. So that was one thing I just took away, and I think how one could grow this is, like, for myself, I'm going to drag somebody back with me next time, and so, you know, it was one of me now, and then there'll be two, and you know, I imagine if we keep bringing more people, we're going to, you know, we'll have more people to coach, and we can do more prisons.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention about that is this curriculum that you guys experienced the end of is a 1 month long intensive based on this book called The Master Plan. And it just came very organically, but it's not part of Defy curriculum. But it's part of an envelope that I felt like was absolutely critical to actually put it in perspective. Everything that Defy does, there's all these chapters and sometimes they don't even match and you don't know where we're going. And I felt like the first time going through that we needed a plan. And so this kind of came about through that organic experience. And this story, the life story and the experience, it's not that nobody has listened, it's that they, most of them, have never shared it with a living soul. They've been living in that shame all their life. And they didn't even know it was possible to share. That's what's so crazy and critical about it. And several of the men actually stopped me afterwards and said, I am changed. Like, this is the moment. And that was just so powerful to hear them say that.
This is Adam. I think one important thing you get as a visitor for one of these days that you really can't get any other way that I could think of is just, an exposure to the level of genuine buy-in and passion from, the inmates who are in the program. There's really no substitute for seeing that and feeling that as far as I could see. And as far as, how to expand this, I think it'd be really useful to map out these are the structural blocks right now. Is it just financial, or are there a host of other factors, political and so on, and kind of, starting from an analytical framework and deciding how to attack each sub-issue that is a blocker could be, that's just an idea and how to, break through.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'll use the IBM rule. If you identify it, you're in charge of solving it. So it's great. Adam already agreed to be part of our advisory board, and I really encourage people to actually do that because we can create that structure. So you could be in charge of the actual structure. Thank you. Others, I know. Yeah, thank you so much. I know you have to go. Others, Corey, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I'll come over here. You don't want me to hold it.
It's a very good report.
Yeah, it is. Corey Weathers. I two things. One on, just on a personal level. Being in the presence of people who are willing to open themselves up so fully and share with, complete strangers is amazing across the board, no matter what the situation is. That people who have gone through such traumatic life issues and had such traumatic upbringings, so different from the way I was raised and the experiences I've had in my life. You hear stories and you read things, but to see it firsthand and to have somebody present that life story to you in person is truly transformational. And that's my segue into what my business partner and I are doing. Is working on providing people with transformational travel experiences. So experiences that go beyond just traveling, but immersing oneself in culture, immersing oneself in world issues, and being able to bring that back to their community and their network and share that story. And I think the thing that I felt slightly helpless today was, oh my God, there's so many things that I could offer this group of people and so many connections that I can make, but how do we do that appropriately and safely and in the right way? And I think that's one huge opportunity of how DeFi can be kind of that intermediary to make those connections and make that happen, which I know is already something that you're working on.
But that is something that you can actually help foster. Because you're talking about these operational blocks.
Yeah.
One of the key operational blocks is to create collaborations. It cannot be this, it can't be this voluntary program that does this little thing inside, just like all the other little programs that do, because people are passionate about it. It really has to be a movement. And the way we do it is like, yep, just like connecting with Mod Pizza, or like connecting with, like, how do we bring it out into the social media in the way that is truly meaningful, and brings more people in. I think that would be really wonderful. One of the things that I just become aware of today, I'm still in shock, if you can't hear it in my voice. Look, I've done what, this is probably my 15th one, either as a participant or as someone who runs it. But I've never seen such dedication in the men and women, and that they are willing to put their money where their mouth is and actually support this program genuinely. And I think that there are people outside who've gone through this program, or just outside who've succeeded, who've been through the prison system, who want to be part of this program. It cannot just be some well-meaning suburbanites who never been inside the prison to do this work. You gotta bring people who actually are meant to do. Oh man. Yeah, so this is Jeff. Jeff is someone who's inspired me and continues to inspire me. And by the way, if I don't do well, he'll kick my ass. So there is that too. Jeff, some people here know you, some people don't. You're on a podcast. Just briefly tell us about what this is and why you actually support DeFi and what you're trying to do.
So this is my coffee shop.
This is my world. I started this company in 2010. I didn't get out of prison till 2013. So I was actually slinging beans like 3 years before I ever got out. And the reason I started my company was because my grandpa left me $2,500, and in prison that's a lot of money. And I didn't know what to do with it. So it's a long story, but I actually tried to buy barrels of oil because I didn't know what to do with the money. And people were like, well, where are you going to put the oil? And I'm like, I don't know. I'll store it in a storage shed, I guess. I don't even know what I'm going to do with it. But I wanted to invest the money. And then I found out later that I didn't actually get to own the oil. I just got a piece of paper that said I did, and I didn't really want it then. So the next largest traded commodity on planet Earth is coffee. And I found out I could actually own it and have it, and it's mine. And I don't have to process it except for my way. I don't have to use a refinery or store it or anything else. So I found out after my fifth failed parole hearing, when I found out that I wasn't getting out, my team, and I had a team of people that loved me and supported me and believed in me, and we, as a team, decided that I would start my business now, before I get out. So I actually put my business plan together in 2008, and in 2009, I filed articles of incorporation from WSR, wow, where you guys were just at, and bought my first shipment of coffee from Costa Rica and had a roaster in Olympia roast it for me. And my little brother built me a website, and my friends delivered coffee for me and did the packaging and labeling, and I haven't stopped. So I got out in 2013, and we've just been kicking the crap out of the coffee world.
How many people have you helped on the way out? What? Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I truly believe in DeFi and what this program offers to the men up there, because it instills hope. And if those men have hope, they can do anything. They can endure anything. And if a man has a vision and has hope, then, I mean, this is truly the reality of that. And I spent a great deal of time during my incarceration helping the men realize their potential, and both mentally and physically. I had a cardio boot camp that I put together, and the troublemakers they used to give to me, and I'd have fun with them. So. But I've always been a networker. I've always been able to see where there's a need and help the men that I was doing time with actually negotiate obstacles from being incarcerated to actually being employed. And I got many men jobs and helped them network from inside prison. And I'm just like, dude, if I ever get out, you know, this is my jam, so to speak. So, you know, I've spent a great deal of time and energy helping men who contact me, you know, obtain positions in different professional industries, construction, deconstruction. I just helped a lady and her husband. Both of them were incarcerated in California. I actually negotiated with their parole officer and got their parole transferred up here and got her a job. She's a flagger, and he's a job doing construction. And they couldn't make it on parole down there because they couldn't find work. They couldn't find anybody that would house them or help them. And I was able to pull that malarkey. So I kind of call it that because it actually becomes that after a while.
It's really powerful. It's a powerful story, and I encourage you all to check out Pilot House Coffee, and it really is the best coffee out there. It really, really is. And what do you think, and I'll open it up to others again, what do you think it will take for DeFi and program like DeFi to actually not just be a great little program inside TRU or something like that, but to actually change the system in Washington State, to actually really shape it?
So I believe that the board of directors of DeFi need to move forward, not only do what you guys are doing now, but also help the men bridge the gap between prison and community. And if you can bridge that gap, because most of the men they've literally burned every bridge they ever had. They've hurt every relationship they ever had. And when you don't have that network or that bridge back into community, it's like failure. You have to have someone who cares. And I know that I know what works, and I really would like to see DeFi, you know, bring in lots of volunteers and sponsors and professionals in all scopes of work. And I would like DOC to change their mindset and allow the sponsors and volunteers that come in actually be able to help the men, you know, get on their visiting list, help them negotiate the trials of community, because it's hard. It's not easy. And, you know, 20 years ago, we used to have programs like that where men and women could get on my visiting list and help me understand what it is to be free. How do you use a cell phone? How do you pump gas? I mean, how do you do? I couldn't do any of that stuff. I was in prison for a long time, and they had no cell phones, you know, when I went in. And all of a sudden, the world just completely changed. So there's a lot that I feel like DeFi needs to do or can do to bridge the gap between prison and community. So
can I build on that, or yeah. do you want to open it up? So about a month ago, something happened in Washington State with the Washington State Department of Corrections that I never thought would happen, and that is they published a new mission and vision and a commitment from them to the people of the state of Washington. Their mission is simply stated to improve public safety by positively changing lives. Their vision is working together for safer communities. Now that vision was their tagline. It's now their vision backed up by their mission to improve public safety by positively changing lives. Their commitment is to operate a safe and humane correction system and partner with others to transform lives for a better Washington. The commitment is super powerful, and we can hold the Washington State Department of Corrections, the legislature, every elected official in this state accountable to live up to that, and we should. That means there's a future for DeFi beyond expectations today. There's a future for Corio, a social purpose corporation that I developed when I was incarcerated at Twin Rivers, now operating across the country, helping people, changing lives. This is momentous.
And then it goes back, this goes back to that idea of question of why now? Why is this important now? It's because 2 years ago, that was not there.
We've hit the saturation point. We're at an inflection point now where the system has broken itself. It no longer is able to carry out its primary custodial mission. It's tried many variations. It's failed at all of them. And the public are tired of paying for people to come back to prison to enrich private contractors.
So I know that this is a podcast, but I'm a realist. And the real is that there has been so much lying and stealing and thievery and I don't want to say the words because this is a live podcast that are in my heart right now. But DOC needs to change completely. They would complete paradigm shift.
What is the DOC?
Department of Corrections. The director on down through correctional industries, they're all liars and they're thieves. And that's real.
What do you mean? So help us understand.
Okay, so for instance, they have an industry inside the prison system right now called Class 2 Industries where they make furniture for schools, which is supposed to help the men learn a trade and turn that positiveness into a better deal for the schools so that they get a product that is, you know, professionally made at a cheaper price. And everything that I just said is great, like their vision statement. It all sounds great, but the reality is none of it works. And I've seen them actually sell inventory for a complete office building. You know, all the office dividers,
yeah.
The same stuff to 15 different companies and move it around a warehouse 15 different times. I've seen so much malarkey in the 30 years that I was in prison. And it is from the top all the way down. What needs to happen is the lawmakers need to be made aware of the things that happen inside of the prison system. And they need to know that it is that gap that you bridge between the man and community where success is. Because all of those programs that they offer, the millions and millions and millions of dollars with the drug programs that they offer, none of them work. None of them. Not one of them. If a man's going to change, he's going to change. And it's not a program that they make you take that's going to make you change.
True.
There's millions of dollars of waste.
If we can actually take the programs that already exist, if we can get the money that already is used, remember how Q said not all programs are created equal?
Yeah.
Right? It is incredible to me.
You guys, I had a program inside of prison. I have several programs that I put together inside of prison, but I had a specific program inside WSR in 1993 where I taught welding to the men. I was a TA, and I taught men how to weld and really make a living. Go out there and make a living.
Yeah.
And 90% of those men that were in those classes are out and successful and have families and buying houses and doing good.
Good.
Those programs are gone in DOC. Yeah, you need to ask your lawmakers why.
Exactly. And this is where there is a huge, what Jeff is talking about, he's touching on a very, very fundamental piece about this system, is that the system is doing exactly what it's been designed to do.
That's exactly what all systems
do. They warehouse men.
It's incentivized malarkey. It incentivizes all of these things, which is both scary and sad and frustrating, but also it's incredibly hopeful, because what it means is if we change the paradigm, and it does start with the mission statement, but that's not enough. You actually have to put your action where your mouth is and your money where your action is. And this is where the secret is. The secret piece here is that we cannot ask DOC to reform itself. It's like trying to pull yourself by your own bootstraps. You got to get others. Yeah.
Reformation isn't what's needed, right? So every system that exists is creating the exact results that it was designed to create.
Yeah.
So you look at the system, you think it's broken, but it's not. The system is doing exactly what it was designed to do, right? So you have to completely change the system,
yeah.
Right? If system reformation worked, our educational system wouldn't be where it is.
No.
Right?
So the thing that is, you can't ask DOC to change.
No.
Because they don't want to.
Nobody.
What you have to do is go to the lawmakers, go to the people that have the money,
yeah.
And say, this is the lie. This lie has been told. And so I'm going to say this because this is real. I lived through the violence, through the hellhole that you guys raved about. I lived through, just pretend for a second that you're two correctional officers, okay? We're two gang members. This is real. You guys bring drugs into us. We start violence. You guys create violence inside of the prison and a scare. And guess what happens? then the directors of DOC goes to the lawmakers and say, we need more money for this, 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 and this. And guess what happens? Here, take it, fix it. And that goes on over and over and over and over again, year after year after year, decade after decade after decade, and the money just keeps coming in,
If we shift that paradigm, what I hear from you is just from a practical point of view, one of the things, I'm spending a lot of time in Olympia right now, and working with both the state and the House of Representatives and the Senate, and what they need eyes and ears inside the prisons, and they need to see it themselves, and then they need to change where the money goes. Accountability.
Those men and women that are inside our prison systems, they want change.
Yeah.
They do.
That's right.
Our DOC does not want change. Our prison guards union does not want change. And anybody who thinks that they do are so wrong. And our lawmakers need to know the truth. They need to know what makes that place tick and why it ticks the way it does.
And the first step is for them to actually learn that this exists. And that's why we're bringing people into prison. So we've brought in 2 lawmakers so far, and we're going to bring a lot more in the next few months. I want to open it up to others here, and thank you. I know we're past the time. But what other ways we can build the system, build DeFi into a force? Because we need to change the system. It's not just enough to build a successful
program. I just want to say one more thing, and then I'll leave. I feel like DeFi needs to create a board with all of you guys in it.
Yeah.
A board of directors that can speak to lawmakers as a group and go and say, hey, this is what's real.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do to change. And we're not going anywhere. We're here to help. That's what needs to happen.
And it all needs to be people who have been inside the system and seen, even if it's just for a few days, you know, how it operates.
You have to see it first. You got to see it first, right? So anybody else here who has a comment?
Yeah. Even, I like these ideas here, and even not just stopping at the board, but like your board and everyone else together can create initiatives, and like the other guy who was here just a minute ago was saying, dissecting and pulling out, you know, what are the key blockers.
Adam,
assign everyone that comes some takeaway action to help you. Assign everyone that comes, because like, we're all here and we're all motivated to help you. And if we break down and understand what those barriers are, and if people want to help, then you can make this army. You know, 40 people each time come with you to the thing. That's 40 more that can help work on some kind of barrier with the guidance of your board or whoever, you know.
Whoever, Kyle, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for volunteering, by the way, because you're in charge of the army. we're gonna organize.
Sergeant Kyle.
And with Adam, Sergeant Kyle, and yes, that's how it works. And then Adam is going to help us with the actual structure.
So as you said earlier, systems of it, there's an existing system, and the system is very stable. Not a good system, but it's a stable system. It works, right? And systems don't like change. You need to put a lot of energy to change a system. What does it take to take over that system? To actually get the right people in the right positions, and
but this is really good.
You just go in and figure out what are the positions you want to vote for, or you need to go in, you need a position you need to apply for, the side jobs you might need to have, the jobs somebody need to apply for, and then you run it.
I need a job.
And then you take it over. That's
okay.
But I think that's
is your head getting explored?
Exactly on the right thing, right? Is money talks. And so are the businesses behind you, and are the people in the position that can help make those decisions?
Right.
Like, how do those things?
So the position. Mark, thank you so much. My brain was already blown up, but you just blew me away. Because you're right. You fill out those positions. I haven't thought of it that big, and that's why I do need a board. And the board is actually happening. This is the beginning of this. What I want to say is that let's continue this discussion, because these pieces are really critical and they need to start working outside of DeFi, but they're going to help the whole system go better. I never even considered that aspect. So thanks for volunteering. It's on record. Anybody else here? Because you know what's going to happen.
There's no way disguising your voice. I'm sorry, sir.
We need to spend a little bit of time researching the individuals in Olympia that are on the Ways and Means Committee, the people that are within the different what do you call
it? Public safety committee, and like, yeah. This is what
anything
I'm currently
to do with DOC.
Yeah, Larry Springer and Goodman just sent out their annual update of how well they're working on public safety. So
Goodman, so just so you know, for the record here as well, in the second or third week of January, Defy, I, and several other people are actually going to the public safety committee under Goodman. Goodman is inviting us. He's been to Defy himself, as well as Clippert, the Republican counterpart. And we're actually testifying in the committee about our program. So this is the beginning, but it's not nearly enough. And I love this idea of creating a concerted effort of actually changing the system from the inside out. And that's the action. This is why this is so powerful, is because DeFi can only do so much, whatever that is. But each one of you have now been changed in your own way, and you have this unique power that the men inside do not have. And you can live through them. You can get help that you can live their life, help them create what they envision. But also, you have these unique connections to financing as well as power.
To have a common goal for everybody in this group, to have a common goal to help educate our legislators as to what is really going on and what really needs to happen in order to really have change. That's one thing, okay? The second part of this is that DeFi already has, they're in a situation now to where they can instill hope in the men, and they can help the men negotiate and to make that leap. What did they say? There's a verse somewhere, I think it's in the Bible, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The real is that with hope, a man can do anything.
What's the legal situation for voting? So I assume if you're an inmate, you can't vote, right? Is that correct?
You can't actually vote. In Washington State, you're not allowed to vote.
You are after you paid your LFOs and you're through with community custody.
Which then, some people are never through community custody.
But the majority are.
Yeah. So others. Yeah.
That is actually something that's gone before. I've been asked to come down and talk about that a couple times. So I know that is being worked on right now, and they're putting it through in session again. They'll put it up again as far as can we reinstate voting rights for anyone as soon as you walk out the door.
But it's the voting rights and the real change happens with us. This is why DeFi is so committed to bringing volunteers in and mentors in. Jeff or Julie, do you have something? I know, Julie, I was very interested to hear from you because you have an actual PhD in community building. So I hear.
In history.
Huh?
In history.
In history of community building?
No. History. Okay. Southeast Asian
that
history.
That includes community building.
Yes. So what did you find out about this? What did you see?
I keep thinking about how, I mean, we're talking about big systems change and policy and advocacy, and I think that the biggest impact that I had today was just the impact. I felt changed, and I think it's touching people where it's just this liberation is two-way.
Yes.
Right? And then also making sure that you are asking people to help where they can, because some people don't want to do policy work, and they want to just be inspired and to actively listen. And I think the act of listening to each other is just so powerful.
I'm gonna create committees.
I mean, I was moved by so for me personally, I didn't expect to hear so many to talk to some of the sex offenders. And as a woman, I have my own assumptions of what sex offense is and sex crimes are. And so to be able to talk to people and to hear all the things that led up to that, and again, that how we should not be defined by the worst thing we ever did that was life-changing for me to hear that. So, and then also that exercise we did where I just can't imagine some people being in prison for 3 to 4 decades. I mean, people who are older than me have spent, I mean, like, there are some people who've been in prison for longer than I've been alive. And that was incredibly moving. And I think that until someone hears that, like, they can't really imagine it. So
put a face to that scenario.
Yeah, and so I mean, I think like there's so much storytelling to do.
Storytelling is really critical, and that's one of the things. How do we tell these stories effectively to affect change? And I think that I'll keep coming back to what Jeff said about bridging the gap between prison and community. I'm going to absolutely borrow and adopt that into our motto, because it is really the key here. And what we're doing in DeFi right now is just the first step. It has to start in prison, but it's not enough. We have to start with hope and build skill sets, but you gotta build things on the outside, yeah.
If you guys want a network of really, or a plethora of really amazing kind of people that might be interested in doing sponsorship or volunteer work or becoming members,
yeah.
I feel like we need to put together some guidelines with protocol in it and let the men up there teach a class of what prison's really all about. What's it like to be convicted of a crime? What's it like to ride the chain bus to prison? What's it like to be on Fish Row and waiting to go into general population? You know, how do you do your time? Are you doing time, or is time doing you? Are you learning from this? Are you changing? And we need to offer that kind of curriculum to the students at the UW that are taking criminology, and have those guys come up to the prison and actually be able to be volunteers and sponsors and hear the men speak. And I mean, I feel like some stuff like that with DeFi is what's going to create a tornado.
Yeah, I keep feeling we're this close.
Tornado, man.
We're this close to being, you know, if you guys know chemistry, there's this concept of activation energy. It means you have to put an incredible amount of energy to start a chemical reaction. But once the chemical reaction starts, it cannot be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it continues to go and putter along. It's that the idea is once the paper is paper until, and it's slowly burning. It's going to burn in 1,000 years, but you light a flame and it'll flame up and you can't stop it. That's where we are.
Yeah.
And so I am asking all of you and those of you who will be listening to the final product of this podcast to come and share your wisdom and vision and passion with us. Go to defiventures.org or defiwa.org. And commit your time, your money, and connections in order to transform this prison inside out, to build the bridge, that will bridge the gap between prison and community and unlock untapped human potential. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming. There's more to come, and I can't wait to have you guys again come to prison with us. Thank you.
So you guys know, our holiday blend on the shelf is the best coffee I've ever roasted.
And it is for sale.
What's the name?
So pick some up before you leave.
What's the name of your store here?
Original Pilot House Coffees, Monroe, Washington.
Just real quick, because everything that you guys are talking about fits into the context of what's called collective impact. And I don't know if anyone's ever heard that term. I imagine with the work you're doing, you have. But collective impact is a commitment of a group of actors from different sectors to a common agenda for solving a specific social problem using a structured form of collaboration. The common agenda that we're talking about is the new Washington State mission and vision statement. What is needed is somebody outside of a government structure to bring all the different actors together from the different sectors to do that work. So that means a common agenda, which we have, a shared measurement system. So what kind of progress are we making? How many incarcerated individuals are actually moving, you know, into the direction they need to move into? Mutually reinforcing actions. So this is one of those actions. There's a lot of other actions that need to happen.
I just feel like I just got plugged into a socket.
Continuous communication. We're having a conversation here, sharing this with our networks, you know, all these things we're talking about today of how we get that message out and how we create more awareness, and a backbone support. And that's Leo in DeFi Washington is being that backbone.
So I'm gonna finish by this. It's just a good talk, but let's actually have an action. On Wednesdays from 6 to 8:30 p.m., we have our classes. Every Wednesday from 6 to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. I typically come here ahead of time before to beat the traffic. I know you're close at 5, is that right, typically? I'm going to work with you. Maybe I can come in here and maybe we can, once in a while, once a month or something, I want to bring in a collective to communicate things between 5 and 6 p.m. or something like that, so we can actually talk about what we can do, maybe 4:30 to 5:30. So that I think that this conversation has to continue and continue and build on itself. I never realized that's what I was doing today. I thought I was done today, but I wasn't done. This is just the beginning. This is this is really powerful, and I feel that this is what is going to require to change. And I'd love to get you to be part of that. Thank you. Thank you all for coming, and we'll be in touch with you, all of us. And I know each one of you has something to offer, and I want your help. I don't want this to just be one and done. I want to actually engage you in all of that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Cheers. I'm going to take a picture of everybody. Don't leave yet.
All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed the show today. It was an amazing, amazing experience. If you haven't had a chance yet, definitely check out Defy Ventures Washington, and we'll put all the notes in the show notes. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and share.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, please.
Together we rise. Bye.
Be nice, y'all. Bye.
If it's out.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, we're hot, so I'm going to hold while you guys can focus on thinking and talking and stuff. So come in just a little bit here. Yep. Okay.
First up will be Lawrence.
Okay. All right, go ahead. What radio station do you want to listen to?
95.7. I want to listen to that one.
What do you want to listen to?
95.7. The Jet. I want to listen to 95.7. The Jet.
Thank you. Say it one more time.
Louder.
I want to hear 95.7.